The scripture reading for today is Galatians 5, 1-6. And in the Pew Bibles, that's page 945. And I'll be reading Galatians 5, 1-6. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burned again by yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ, you who have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love.
So, one of the things about being a camp director is you end up wearing lots and lots of different hats. So sometimes it is the obvious role of, you know, directing the programming of a camp or directing the camp. Sometimes it's a pastoral role where I work really closely with people who are growing in their faith and are figuring that out. Sometimes it's, I laugh, as Chris was just calling them up a few weeks ago, I was at one of our supporting churches and they said, hey, can you do a few kids songs? And I'm like, yeah, I love doing kids songs. And so I got there and I realized there was no worship music. It was me. Just kids songs. And all of a sudden I'm going, oh dear, like I was playing mostly silly songs. And so, and it was funny, after I found out that's actually what they were hoping for Camp Sunday was just to do a lot of kids songs, which actually is kind of fun to do some Sunday. There you go. Whoever plans your worship services, try that some week. Just, you know, approach Jesus like a child and sing those camp songs that we all remember. And sometimes I get the opportunity to preach. Now, I am technically a Bible school graduate. So technically, I am qualified to preach, but I actually left Bible college, the first stint of Bible college, because I was like, oh, I am not called to be a pastor, which in my mind was a preacher. I now know I do have the gifts of a pastor. I still don't know that I have the gifts of a preacher. But what's neat is all of us have a hope in Jesus. All of us have a story to tell. All of us have some way to encourage others. And so I hope this morning, through what may not be an eloquent 3-point sermon that's worthy of a podcast or something like that, just, you know, however we, you know, now sermons are known these days, I hope that I can encourage you. So thank you for the opportunity to speak and to bring. Yeah, I'll just jump in. So each summer we choose a theme in cooperation with two other camps, Redberry Bible Camp and Ranger Lake Bible Camp. Each camp implements the theme in ways that are unique to their individual camp culture, or you could say flavor. We do allow speakers, many of which will speak at a few of our will speak at a few of our camps to have a little less work in creating a week-long theme. So if they speak at multiple camps, they have one theme to work off, and they don't have to create something new for each camp, because we do share speakers a lot. It also creates something that's common between campers that come back to maybe one place, one church, one city, and they say, hey, we talked about, you know, freedom in Christ. Hey, that's what we talked about at my camp, too. And so we hope that sometimes those things connect campers to a common theme, even though they went to other places. So as you can see on the screen, our theme for camp this summer is free. And as Chris read for us earlier, it is from those first verses in Galatians 5. And I'm just going to read Galatians 5, 1 again. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Paul powerfully addresses the church in Galatia when he implores them that Christ has set them free, and they were to receive this freedom and walk in it continuously, no longer returning to their old ways of earning, proving, striving, and producing, all with the hopes of pleasing God. In Galatians 5, those things are all little terms like circumcision and religious terms that today we maybe shy away from, and arguably that's not usually a verse that probably a section of passage we would read. But it's interesting, because early in Galatians, Paul has worked to flesh out and define the yoke of slavery is the burden of trying to redeem ourselves by the actions, specifically of doing all of the old covenant law, all that the old covenant law required. When in fact the gift of salvation, the work of Jesus, is like that of a child becoming an heir, or like the prisoner being set free. Free. This one little word contains many meanings. It can be used as an adverb to encapsulate the freedom, exhilaration, the notion of getting something with no cost or payment. It can also induce thoughts of second guess or wondering if something is too good to be true. Oh, it's free. I get a free gift if I sign up for this. It can be both things. But Paul is speaking in earnest and wanting to address is the truth of being free because Jesus paid, and now our only role is to believe and to receive. Our mission at Camp Kadesh starts with a desire that every camper would hear the truth about Jesus during our chapels and see his heart in their cabin leaders and the supporting staff. Our heart in teaching on the word free is to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth of Jesus' life, to bring the gift we receive free in that sense. The second part of the verse is equally essential to our mission, and that is the pairing with you, our supporting church. We exist in an extension of all gathered here. So Kadesh is your representation. It's our privilege to have your youth and young people with us for 1 week in the summer to saturate them with the truth and facilitate meaning and interaction with staff that can impact their life, will impact their life. But if a camp week were all the exposure a camper has to in 52 weeks, they'll not be able to fulfill the second half of Paul's instruction to stand firm and refuse the yoke of slavery to the law. It is essential to our desire that every camper be connected back to a local church for this very reason, to surround them with solid community, biblical teaching based on grace, faith, mentorship, and discipleship. Galatians 5 in Galatians 5 in various ways checks all of the word use of the word has to set us free. It is done. It is finished. Bought. Christ has done this for us, and now we are free. For what? Or to do what? In John 8:36, starting actually in verse 31, we hear Jesus speak about freedom. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever." So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are the offspring of Abraham, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it you say you will become free?" So if the Son has set you free, you'll be free indeed. And I realized that just now that my notes actually omitted a part of that, so I'm just going to quickly actually read John 8:34 out of, I apologize, but I think it's important. So Jesus replied, Very truly I tell you, everyone who is sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking to find for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your father. And I went too far there, but I'm sorry. We are set free from the yoke of bondage of sin and self, and free to live closely to Jesus, fully reliant and grow into what he created us to be. Sometimes we let the sinful world be our bondage. Thanks to Crystal for leading us this morning. There's something about guitar and voices that the camp person in me just loves. It was almost like sitting around a campfire and singing with maybe a little less of nature in the sanctuary. But in the one verse, it was the breath in our lungs. It instantly reminded me of Caitlin. And I know this church has been praying for Caitlin, so I'm just going to talk about her for a little bit. In summer, she was part of our amazing staff. In fact, she was in the pictures that went by. She was in various cabin photos with campers. This year, she was balancing school and working for camp part-time, and she had moved to camp and had really become part of our camp family. I remember the night we were playing games on the third floor of the chalet, which is where our seasonal staff live. And she was just sort of saying how she had been to the doctor because that day she just was really having trouble breathing. She would come up and down the three flights of stairs and was just winded just from going up and down the stairs. The short story is that she started a string of tests over the next few weeks. At one point, they thought she might have TB. At another point, they thought she might have pneumonia. We weren't sure what was going on. Then they found a mass in her stomach. And for those that have followed, we then found out she has cancer through her lungs, cancer through her whole body. And so when we sang the breath in my lungs, she is in the hospital right now. We're at that point where her family has come. Most of her family is from all over, and they've come to Saskatoon, to RUH. She's being sedated. And short of God working an extraordinary miracle, we're going to lose Caitlin. Sometimes we live our lives in slavery to the pressures of life as well. Are we living our life in the freedom of Christ? I suspect that most everybody that's here would say they believe everything that's in here. Would it change if you could say when your timeline was going to come? I know my wife and I have had to say, how do we process some of the things in our life in light of we have this friend who's going to likely lose her life? How do we process these long-term plans and sort of putting off sharing the gospel with our own friends that live in little old Christopher Lake? I mean, yes, I run a ministry that is about preaching the gospel to children. I'm really good at doing that. But do I do it to the guy that pumps my gas or serves me breakfast when I go into town for coffee? Romans 8, 14 and 15. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are called children of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. To fall back into fear. How often do we live our life in the fear of tomorrow? And this is universal. This doesn't matter how old you are. I think as we get older, and depending on the context, I'm either a really old guy or a really young guy. I'm in that middle stage. Put me around a bunch of 20-somethings, I'm the old, bald guy. I know in other rooms, people are like, you're not old yet. But I know we start our lives thinking we're invincible. We've got our whole lives. Well, we always think we have our whole lives. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 25 to 34, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? That's just one example of promises that Jesus taught us. Do we live our lives in the freedom that the gospel tells us? And I'll stand in front of you and say, I don't know that I do a very good job of it, day in, day out. Some days I'm grumpy and upset. Sometimes I say silly things to the team of staff that works with me. Sometimes I spend more time on my phone than with my kids. Sometimes I'm stressed out by, where are we going to raise money? Yet I know in the Bible it tells me that God owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Yet somehow I get stressed on raising money for camp as part of my job. So, do we all live in that freedom of the promises that Jesus has? We are free to follow Him, not to sin, and in doing so be transformed, so that we can transform our world with God's love. I do believe that camp is a place that is doing that. But you can do that too. Yes, we have a way to find kids and draw them into something that's fun. But you have the Holy Spirit living in you. And you are the light of the world that cannot be hidden. We are free because of Christ's gift of life. Our campers will hear and experience and interact with this truth this summer. But everybody that interacts with you can see that too. And when they come back to your church body, will you be an active and engaged part of helping them to stand firm? It's awesome that I get to be here for, you know, a camp Sunday to do a camp report. But it's not just the work of camp. It's not just the missionaries you support. It's not just some of the external parachurch things that happen in our city. It's not just youth ministry. It's each and every one of us. And it doesn't matter how old your birth certificate says you are. Most of it's up here. Would it be okay if I asked that we pray for Caitlin? Because one of the other truths that I believe is that our God heals. And maybe I'll call Greg up, because if you don't know, Greg Nelson is the board chair of our Camp Kadesh. And we did talk about this. I'm not completely blindsiding him by this. But, and I know cancer affects everybody's lives. It affects this church. And I also know that there is healing. There's healing in death. In heaven there will be no more pain, no more sorrow. And I also believe that if that's God's will for Caitlin, then that's true. But I would love to pray. And yeah, Greg, will you pray? And I'll finish off. Okay.
Yeah, I don't... no one knows what to say. It's all in God's hands. But we do know that getting down on our knees and praying is the answer. So let's just take it to Him. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, You are the one and only. You are eternity. You are here on earth with us. Lord, we bring Sutherland before You. We bring Kadesh before You. We bring Your world before You. In this time that we bring things to You about Caitlin, Lord, of course we pray, heal her, Lord. We pray that You would heal Caitlin, that she could, Your miracle happened here on earth, Lord. Guide us to seek whatever You are doing here, Lord. You have a plan for everything, and give us the strength to see Your plan, to spread Your gospel with whatever happens in any situation, Lord. In Your name,
God, thank you for giving us life, God. And we come as Your children. You say in Your scripture that if we ask like a child, You will give. And I've struggled with that first. And so, God, we ask. Show Your power for Caitlin's family, for everyone that has heard her story, that Your power be known. And God, I don't know what that will be in its conclusion. But God, I thank you for the story that she had. That I know there are kids, there are campers that met Jesus because of Caitlin. And I pray that we would be inspired by her story. God, thank you for this congregation. Thank you for this church family. Thank you for the way that they support us. And God, I pray that you would bless this congregation with the freedom to expand by telling their stories. And whether that is just the truth of your gospel or how you've worked in their lives, God, that they would have the courage to speak that. So God, thank you for this day and the breath that we have in our lungs. And in Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Thanks, Greg. In conclusion, thank you for supporting camp. And if it's not Kadesh, if you've got another camp that you support, that's awesome. Because the Christian camps, the Bible camps are all doing good work. And be praying for us. One big prayer request that I have moving into this season is we need strong young men that will come and work for camp. Be praying for those men that we could be developing, whether it's at any age, whether it's young LITs, leaders in training, junior cabin leaders or senior cabin leaders, we're looking in all those areas so that they can step out and be light in this world in the camp season. So, blessings on you. Thank you for allowing me to come and share my heart and share what I have seen in Scripture. And thanks for just being a part of our camp family. Thanks.
Standing for the benediction. Thank you, Lord, for what we've heard today. Thank you for freedom in Christ. May we go out this week and be examples of that freedom. May we share with the gas attendant or the waitress or the neighbor or the schoolmate or whoever we meet of the difference you've made in our life. Thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ by which we can have salvation and freedom. Thank you for the message of Easter, that you conquered death, and that no matter what happens, we have the promise of eternal life with you. I pray that you would sustain Caitlin, and even as she's sedated, and maybe she's not aware of all what's going on around her, but may she have the hope and presence of Jesus alive in her heart. And for whatever you have for her future, Lord, would you just sustain her with that? And for each of us, may we go out with that love and that freedom, and that example for your glory. Now to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom of priests, to his God and Father be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.